Acts chapter 3, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Lord God, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are indeed mighty, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord, that you call us here for something greater than what we understand. And Lord, I pray an anointing upon our time that we would indeed hear from you this morning, Lord, that we would find hope in the midst of turmoil, provision where there is need, and healing where there is sickness, Lord. We come to you today looking for miracles. We ask that in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Can I have that boy now?
Yeah.
Come here, Joe. I got a boy named Joe. Last night we grabbed, oh, see, I love this kid. Come here, buddy. No, come on. I want to talk about you. Me and Joe, you go to baseball games, bud? Yeah, he's going, who are you? Me and Joe, I take Joe to Petco Park, and Joe is a little bit older than this, but this kid, I'm saying, man, that kid is beautiful. He reminds me of Joe when he was a little kid. I took Joe when he was about this old to Qualcomm to a baseball game. The players were throwing baseballs to him, and it would bounce off his chest and fall back. I kid you not, three times. They tossed him a ball, bounced off his chest, fell back into the field of play. They bent down and handed it up to him.
Wow.
Carlos Beltran even signed the ball and handed it back to him. He dropped it again. The Padres moved from Qualcomm over to Petco, and my brother told me the story about his friend who went to all these games for free. And he would go out into the front where all the people were coming out with a sign, "Free tickets?"
Okay.
Question mark. So me and Joe, a little bit older than that, he's probably six, right? And we go out there, and I got Joe, and I got this sign, "Free tickets." And then on the back, "Will work for tickets," right? And I'm kidding you not, I got Joe there, and this lady shows up within 3 or 4 minutes. "Here's some tickets." And the provision just began to come. But we were out there in front of Petco begging. Amen?
Amen.
Today we're going to talk about, we're reading about a beggar. And we are familiar with beggars. Guys, we out there, you see them all the time, you know, just looking for a little bit of something to get by. You know what I'm talking about. You see them, right? And you see some of the same people all around the place. I have a question for you today. What are you looking for today? Are you looking for life transformation, or are you just looking for enough to get by? Because there's a lot of us who settle for just enough to get by. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know people, they're just looking for enough today to get by for today, right? And nothing ever changes in their life. They're looking for spare change, not real change, not life transformation that would happen in them. We're reading about some people today. We're in a series called The Reality of the Resurrection. And we started taking a look at the end of the Gospel of Luke, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we moved right into the book of Acts. And it is a story of people that got more than they were expecting. That the transformation that was available in Jesus Christ for them was not something that they were accustomed to. They had not experienced that. Even the ones that had walked with him for 3 years, the transformation that happened to them after the resurrection was wholly new to them. And so we come here this morning, And I bring to you a promise in the gospel. I bring to you the reality of the resurrection, that change is available in your life. And some of you come in here this morning thinking, I need that type of a transformation. I need that type of a change. And I have a great news for you today, that you have indeed come to the right place. Title of today's message is Looking for Change. Okay? Thank you very much. Yes. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this word today. I mean, God's been baking in this and bringing it to fruition. I'm so glad to see all you guys here. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m, and a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. Always been that way. Guy's whole life, he had been crippled from birth. Every day, he was taken to the temple gate called Beautiful. And I showed you that picture of Petco because that is the image that I had of this guy sitting in the streets of Jerusalem begging every day, sitting on his little mat. And as I took a look at this text, I am seeing that he was not sitting there begging. You say, wait a minute, that's what it says. No, what it says is he was being carried to go beg. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about who was carrying him. And then I started thinking about the gate called Beautiful, and it is difficult to identify what that gate was. But see, this is just a picture of the temple, and I'm thinking that this guy is, you know, seated out here, you know, hey, you know, got a quarter, you know, got something. But that's not it at all. Because the gate called Beautiful was one of these gates. It was inside the temple. Inside, he was being carried to the temple courts. This is also, this is a painting, actually. And so what we saw, these are the temple courts, and he would have been placed by one of these big old temples. This was the court of the Gentiles out here, and that is where they used to sell the money changers' tables were, and they used to sell the sacrifices. And that is where Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and made a whip to drive out those that were selling doves and the offerings and stuff. And why did he do that? He did it because it was rigged. It was a ripoff. And so as I am thinking about this guy being carried through the temple courts, being placed right at one of these doors, there was probably a beggar at each one. I don't think there was 20. And I think just in the same way that the offerings and the money changers were a scam, the beggars were a scam. I think that they were being carried by temple workers because it was looked at upon favor. It was looked at as being meritorious to give an offering to the poor. And so what did those priests do? They made sure that there was somebody that was poor sitting right there so you could make an offering and feel good about yourself. And I am confident that they were taking their cut. That beggar was placed there as a prop. They had no care for that beggar. He was merely there for the temple to get their cut. And we have so many people in our culture today that are getting a little cut by people that care nothing for them. Being taken advantage of, props for the people around them to make money. And they're just trying to get by. I think this guy was a little bit different. I think he was living for a hope for more. I'm going to develop this for you. That's why I'm so excited, because I read this week and some new meaning kind of jumped out at me. And he says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. That was his job. And he's being carried in, right? He's got the guys he's working for right there. Alms, alms, look, I'm doing good for you guys. He looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter and John were walking by. And they weren't just anybody walking by. They were miracle workers. How do we know that? We're in Acts chapter 3. We go to the end of Acts chapter 2. Everyone, all the people, were filled with awe. We took a look at this last week. We're filled with fear. And many miracles and wonders, many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Where? The temple courts. Bible says that they met every day in Solomon's colonnade. This is Solomon's colonnade right there. That's the main entrance to the temple, the interior courts. Now, maybe this beggar is sitting right there looking at him have church every day. Maybe he's sitting way over here. I don't know where he was sitting. But the Bible tells us every day they had church in Solomon's colonnade. The Bible also tells us that they were healing all kinds of people. And I think that this beggar was sitting there looking for dimes and pennies and quarters, seeing people transformed, seeing people jumping around those temple courts, and thinking maybe in his soul, maybe one day, maybe there could be hope for me. Peter says, look at us. And that beggar is looking up in expectation. And maybe he said, hey, I need some coins, man. I got to make my quota. I got to make my quota. They're going to get some other beggar in here. I'm happy. Kind of like people get, I got my Section 8, man. My place is a pit, but I got my Section 8. I don't want to lose my Section 8. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
This guy's got the Section 8 back in the temple. I want to lose my spot. He says, look at us. And they think maybe in his soul, maybe in his heart, he's thinking, maybe there's more than coins for me today. And right in the middle of that temple, the power of Jesus Christ is making change in people's lives. You know, 5 minutes after we were, we'll work for tickets, you know. Lady came up and said, those tickets for that boy? I said, yeah. And she gave us tickets. Third deck. And we had a couple of guys from the church. I can't remember who they were, but they were seedy-looking guys. I said, look, you guys stand over there, man. Just go away. And we stood there, and people would come, and they would see Joe, and they would say, here's a ticket, here's a ticket, and we began to start trading tickets. We were holding out for more. It took us about 20 minutes, and we had four tickets. 15 feet from the field. Too many of us settle for less than what the Lord would have. Too many of us beg and are happy with the crumbs when the Lord says, I have paid for a front row chair for you, my child. I don't want you to settle. I don't want you to become accustomed with less. I want you to come into relationship with me and find transformation for your life. Amen?
Amen.
We good?
Good.
Gets better. All right, here we go. Miracles happen. Anybody had a miracle happen in their life? Transformation happen in your life? Amen? Yes, yes. Look around. If you need it, put your hand up. You've had God touch you in a mighty way. Look around. You need a miracle in your life. These people have all had that happen. Says, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. And some people would say, oh, darn, that's what I was looking for. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And if you need a change in your life, you can have that change. Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection makes that possible. Can I get a witness on that, Balthazar? God's touched Balthazar before, giving him healing. There's more healing coming. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let me get to page 2 here. The name of Jesus, walk. This was something that this guy had never done before. I'm sure he had thought about it. You think he thought about it? One day, maybe I could walk. Maybe there'll be an opportunity. And I'm telling you, for you to have change in your life, you're going to have to change your expectations. You're going to have to change the goals of your life. I'll tell you what, if you are satisfied with your crummy Section 8 place, you'll never move out. Some people say, oh, I can't get a job, I'll lose my Section 8. Folks, you get a job, you won't need no Section 8. Can I get a witness on that, please? Don't let it hold you back. Don't let a crumb hold you back from a steak. How many people like steak? Cooked some steak for my uncle there. I said, oh, that's good steak. It was good steak. Man, he raises cows. He knows good steaks. We had good steaks. He says he took them by the hand. Do you know what that means? It means that, see that? For him to take the beggar's hand, that means the beggars had to take Peter's hand. It's a combo act. I mean, Peter didn't come up like you got a little kid. Come with me. No. It was a combo act. When God reaches down to you, you're going to have to reach out to him. There is an opportunity for you. From heaven, God would reach out. The beggar reached out. And for him to reach out, that means he had to let the other guy go. Remember, he's being carried into the courts. Now, maybe they had him on a mat. I don't know. I mean, if me and Enrique are carrying Roxy into the temple courts to beg, we're probably got our hands locked and she's sitting on her, and she's got her hand around our necks or something like that. And they're doing something, but I'm seeing those officials are right close. They're coming in, and I think Peter and James are going, look at this dude. Look at this dude. And we're healing people every day. And I see this guy looking at us every day. And he says, get up and walk. And for him to get up and walk, he has to let go of the guy carrying him and grab onto Peter. God makes an offer to you this morning. You are going to have to let go of something to put your hand in him. Am I talking to anybody here or am I just talking to me? See, you got to think about, what am I holding on to? What have I got my arms wrapped around? God saying, come with me, I'm too busy for you, God. I'm sitting here begging. The guy could have said, are you joking? Get away from me, man. He said, how about a 20? I got to make my quota. I made quota all week. I can make my quota and I'll be good for another month. You gonna turn down the hand of God for 20 bucks? 50 bucks? What are you going to turn down the hand of God for? Because there are some that are turning down the hand of God. See, God will come to you and say, do you want to beg or do you want to walk? And many of us would say, I don't know, I never walked before. I think I'll stick with begging. You know people that make that choice, don't you? They're too busy begging to walk. I hope that's not you this morning. If you're going to change, it is going to be an incredible threat to your current situation. There are those around you who will resist that change because it's going to have impact on them. And this guy had the guys or whoever carrying him, he said, I don't need this guy. You're a miracle worker. Make sense? What are you holding on to? I know I know you're probably gonna say, boy, I gotta write that down. Some of the stuff in the gospel is pretty easy. Change takes change. You can't change and stay the way you are. You can't move and stay where you're at. You're going to change. You want God to change. You are going to have to be willing to change. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. That was change for this guy. Never done it before. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. He went from begging to praising. Hallelujah. He went into the temple courts. Never been there before. Had seen them. Been carried through them. Never set foot on the temple courts. It wasn't just standing there. He was dancing and jumping and praising God. It was his turn. He had seen other people. He had probably seen other people. I don't know, maybe. I guess you could make a case. They never healed anybody inside the temple. But they're having church every day. Man, I'll tell you what. Somebody got healed on the streets out in Jerusalem. Come in there. They'd be dancing and jumping for joy. I'm making a case to you that this guy saw other people celebrating the miracles of God in their lives. And I believe in his heart there was an opening, that there was an inkling, that there was hope that was birthed in him. That perhaps there's a miracle for me. Perhaps there's a chance for me. How do you respond to the offer of life? Because you have that offer. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Do you have fullness of life? Or you just got a little mat and you're begging and you're settling? How to respond to the offer of life? Peter says this guy responded. Verse 16. If your Bible's open, you can read it right now. If it's not, you can look it up later. He says, it was by faith that this man was healed. Whose faith? I contend it was the faith of the beggar, awakened in his soul by seeing Christians with transformed lives walking by him day after day. I bet you them Christians were throwing down more money than the Jews were. Why? Because they had been transformed in their lives. And he's going, what is up with these messianic Jews? What's up with these people that are meeting over there at Solomon's Colonnade? He says that, well, it says in the previous verse, that his ankles and his feet were strengthened. There was a miracle in his feet. But for that miracle in his feet to happen, there had to be a miracle in his soul. Miracles happen in the feet, and miracles happen in the soul. It is faith and it is feet that make miracles. And I'm telling you, folks, that if you're believing God for a miracle and you aren't using your feet, you are severely limiting the situation. Because he wants to partner with you in life. It's like he reaches out and he needs you to stick your hand out. He says, let's go. He needs you to walk. And some of you say, he says, let's go. Well, pull me. Sometimes I say, God just says, I don't pull nobody. Jesus said, follow me. People said, I'm a little bit busy. And you know what Jesus said? I think we get the wrong picture of Jesus. You know, just, oh, please, follow me, please, please. No, Jesus said, bye. He actually said, hey, let the dead go bury their own dead. Why don't you follow me? You're too busy. There's other people I'm looking for that are not. Do you want to beg or do you want to walk? Do you want to be transformed or do you want to stay where you're at? Because you're not going to be transformed and stay where you are. You're going to be transformed. See, man, I know you guys can't see them. There's all kinds of little kids over there. And you know what little kids love? Not Joe. He's too old. Little kids love those things. They're, what do you call that thing? A walker. Yeah, they love walkers. You know why? They love those things because they want to walk. We put Joe in one of those things. He would bounce for hours. You know, and they won't let you have those things. You know, them things you put over the door. Or some kid got cracked in the head one day. Oh, man, he loved that toy. Probably illegal now. You got to go to, like, China or something to get one. But kids love those things because they want to walk. You can't keep them from walking. You want God to do a miracle in your life, you got to start walking to it. You got to start moving. It takes effort to find transformation in your life. And so many just want God to carry them. That's not what I do. All right, point number three, lives of expectation. When I jump down a couple of verses, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, this is the beggar. Hey, isn't this the beggar guy? They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. That was his spot. I'm the temple gate beautiful guy. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the palace called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? We're doing it every day. We're here every day. Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness that we had made this man walk? Why are you surprised by God?" Earlier I asked everybody to put their hand up and touch by God, and majority of this place, why are you surprised when God does a miracle? God's still doing miracles. Amen?
Amen.
We should expect it. Now, it says here that the beggar was holding on to Peter. And again, I believe I had the wrong picture, because this is the picture I had of the guy. Did you guys have this type of a picture? You know, it's like, oh, Peter, this guy's dancing and praising God. What does he need a crutch for? He don't need no crutch. Probably the last thing he wants in his life is a crutch. He's had crutches his whole life. I don't need no stinking crutch. Did you just say don't do that? I'm trying to echo the sentiment of the beggar. He was holding on to Peter because he didn't want Peter to get away. You're not getting away from me, Peter. I am following you wherever you go. I'll tell you what, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was out on the street. And I found a church. I hunted for a church. I ended up a day later at this little church, Episcopalian church with like 8 people, and I went to that church diligently for like 5 months trying to figure out God. And then I met this girl. She took me to a Calvary Chapel. Had 1,000 people. I was saying, wow, what is this? I don't know about the singing. I said, man, I don't know what the heck this stuff is, man. I mean, you got 4 lines over and over and over again. Where's the hymnal? Come on. But a guy could preach. And then across the freeway was the Assemblies of God church with 2,500 people. Wow! You could not keep me out of church. Every time the door was open, I was there. I was like that guy. Peter, you're not getting away from me. And Aaron stands up here saying, man, too many of you guys missed prayer. It's like, yeah, Lord, transform my life. Here, please. I don't want to have to move. Can I just have church in my house, Lord? I think I'll just watch it on TV. How different was the beggar? Beggar wasn't letting Peter go. Beggar didn't need no crutch. Beggar probably wanted everything he could get. Why does it surprise you? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. Why are you surprised? We're doing it every day. I think the challenge to them was what was happening or what was supposed to happen in their souls. God's still working miracles, folks. And he's reaching out a hand for those with faith to change. My question is that you today? Because for many, it's not. Many live in ignorance. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. I mean, that's not how you win friends and influence people, folks. You know what I mean? We don't want to do that in church today, call anybody ignorant. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks that just are. I know you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets. God takes your ignorance and will use it for his plan and for your good. What it foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. And he says, repent. You're not too far gone. You're not too stupid to be saved. God reaches out a hand from heaven and he says, repent, do an about face in your life. That you would surrender your life, grab onto his, and you would be made new. That you would be transformed in your existence. He says, repent, turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and that times of refreshing might come. Mike, where are you at? Roki, go turn that fan on back there, would you? We got times of refreshing. It'll be here in just a moment. Jesus had walked among them for 3 years. He says, you were threatened by him. You were challenged by him, and in the end, you rejected him. And he says, it's not too late to change. God has given you another chance. What happened to Roki? Hey, go turn that fan on for me. We got this big old fan. I'm hot. And times refreshing can come. He says, it's not too late to change. God's given you another chance. He says, repent. Turn from your life of begging. You feel that, Glenn? Feel that, Scott? You feel the fan coming in? It's not going to get up here because the vents are over there. Feel that, Richard? Feel the air coming in? He says, repent to God, and times of refreshing will come into your life. That's available for you today. You can turn from your life of begging to a life of praise. Turn from a life of begging to a life of celebration. The Bible tells us that God would wipe out your past and give you a new future. And you can be touched by God, and times of refreshing will come. Lisa, you want to come up for a minute and play a song? You come in here today looking for change? Looking for an opportunity? Maybe you came in here just looking for change. I just need a few bucks. I just need to make it through to the week, to next Wednesday. I'm going to get a check. See, we sell God short, and we settle for change. But he says, I'll give you a real change. And he would extend a hand from heaven, and he would say, you need to make a choice. What do you want? What kind of change do you want? What kind of change do you settle? Because some of us live lives of begging. And our expectation is the picture on the left. Just a little change, and I'll be happy. And God reaches down from heaven and says, if you really want transformation in your life, you need to let go of that other picture. And you need to trust me. Because you can't have your old life and a new life too. You want a new life, you got to let the other one go. So as we sit here today, and I believe that the Lord is speaking to several of you here. I can just see, I know it in my spirit, but also I can see it on your faces. that the Lord is making this offer to many of you here this morning. And he's saying you're holding on too tight to what you've known before, and you don't trust me enough to grab on to what you don't completely understand yet. He says, look around you at all these people I'm working on. He says, that guy up there preaching, man, he was worse than any of you. And look what I did in his life. You can have that. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in this place today. And Lord, there are those of us that are here this morning that are so focused on our current situations and so focused on our past and so focused on the precarious nature of our existence that we have no trust. We have no trust for change. We have no trust to be transformed. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for those that are in turmoil this morning. Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, and as you touch that beggar's soul, and you let them see those people being transformed around them, and you let them begin to think that perhaps that transformation is available for me, that you would send that same message out this morning, that there is definitely a transformation that is available for me. And that message is going out to you this morning. And the Lord is saying, my child, you can trust me. You can trust me. And I'm reaching out from heaven, and I got a new life for you. And he says from heaven, do you want it? He says from heaven, how badly do you want it? Would you rather beg or would you rather walk? Because if you want to walk, let's talk. If you want to walk, you got to leave the begging behind. Nobody's looking around. But right now the Lord is making an offer of eternity. He's making an offer of a transformed life right now. He's saying, grab on and let go. And you've never understood it before, but you understand it right now. You've understood it before, but you've never had the faith to let go. And right now, his hand comes down from heaven and says, my son, my daughter, let's go. And you would reach your hand out to God and say, here I am, Lord. I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. I'll trust you, Lord. Transform my life. Nobody's looking around right now, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. You can just sense that hand just coming down from heaven saying, come on, child, let's go. And just as an act of faith and just as an act of trust that you would respond to him, just as that beggar did to Peter, that you would just reach your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. Let's go. Would you do that? The Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Doesn't have anything to do with this church or anything. It just has to do with the Lord reaching down his hand from heaven and saying, you can trust me. Let go of that. It's holding you back. And let's go. If you speak into your heart and you would say, Lord, that's me. I just want you to just raise your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Here and here and here and there. Here, here and here. There, right here, right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, for each one of these, for each one of these, Lord, I just pray a confirmation, Lord. By your Spirit, Lord, you just come and wrap your arms around them. Lord, as that beggar was able to hold on to Peter, I pray those folks right here in this church, myself, Lisa, leaders in this church, regular folks in this church, that there is somebody that they can grab onto Learn to walk. Learn to run. Learn to trust. And give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? And everyone said? And everyone said? And everyone said? And everyone said?